Good morning. If people could take their seats. I would like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone to our 2018 annual meeting of the shareholders of BCE. My name is Gord Nixon, and I'm very pleased to preside over this meeting as chair of the BCE Board of Directors, and I now call this meeting to order. The business of the meeting will be conducted in English and French. We have made available to you headsets for the simultaneous translation of today's proceedings. If you need a headset, please raise your hand and we will get you one. There's a few over there. There's one on this side I can see for sure. So I am now happy to introduce the people who are on stage with me. To my far left, of course, is George Cope, our President and Chief Executive Officer. Beside George is Glenn LeBlanc, our Chief Financial Officer. And to my left, our General Counsel and Corporate Secretary, Michel Lalonde. Also attending today's meetings are members of your Board of Directors, who I will introduce shortly, as well as members of senior management and representatives of our auditors, Deloitte, who are over here. We still have a couple of hands up over here for the simultaneous translation. I'm sure they're getting them. I will continue, and hopefully we'll get those. Here we go, right there, very quickly. I will now ask Michel to take us through some of the formalities of the meeting. Michel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can report that Mrs. Janine Rigon and Mr. Bruno DiGenova, employees of AST Trust Company, have been appointed to act as scrutineers at this meeting. On registering for the meeting today, all shareholders should have received a ballot to vote. Please note that you do not need a ballot if you already have voted by proxy and do not wish to change your vote. If you don't have a ballot, please raise your hand.
If you have not received a ballot, please raise your hand.
Thank you. Veuillez noter qu'afin de...
Please note that to facilitate the voting process, we have asked certain registered shareholders and proxy holders to present and second motions for some items on the agenda.
Proxy holder who wishes to address the chair with respect to an item being discussed should, at the appropriate time, go to one of the microphones located in the aisle and in the middle. You should state your name and whether you are a shareholder or a proxy holder before presenting your question or comment. If you prefer to wait to ask a question or make a comment, or if your question or comment does not relate to the item being discussed, there will be a general question and comment period immediately after our President and CEO's address. I would now like to bring your attention to the notice appearing on screen. Les commentaires qui seront faits.
Today's remarks will contain forward-looking statements. These are based on several assumptions and are subject to important risks. The notice on the screen contains a cautionary statement in this regard and is issued on behalf of each speaker whose remarks today will contain forward-looking statements.
Thank you, Michel. Once again, thank you for joining us here today. The City of Toronto is a very fitting location for our 2018 meeting for a number of reasons. First, however, we must acknowledge that this is a city that has recently faced a terrible tragedy. I invite you to join Bell in supporting the victims, their families, and the first responders who were impacted by the events of April 23rd through the Toronto Foundation and the Toronto Strong campaign. I will also note that one of those heroic first responders, Officer Ken Lamb of the Toronto Police Services, was a valued member of the Bell team for a decade before he departed to pursue his dream of being a policeman 7 years ago. As a Torontonian, it's hard not to be very proud of Officer Lamb. Now, Bell has served the people and the business community of this great city since our company was founded in 1880. Toronto is a primary economic and innovation engine of our national economy. It is the home to more Canadians and more Bell customers than any other center in the world. And of course, Bell recently announced that our all-fiber network is now on in Canada's largest city. Toronto and the fast-growing GTA 905 region that surrounds it are key to Bell's plan to deliver the benefits of the broadband communications revolution to Canadians. From the household up to the largest corporate enterprise, Bell is providing fast, secure, and reliable connections that are built for the future. Bell has deployed these all-fiber connections to centers large and small in Atlantic Canada, in Quebec, in Ontario, and now in Manitoba with the newly created Bell MTS. And more Bell Fiber City projects will be announced in the coming year. These national capital investments are nothing less than a reinvention of the Bell wireline network with the best broadband technology in the world. Similarly, Bell has taken a leadership position in Canadian wireless with the best national mobile network. Bell's ETE network rivals any in the world in terms of speed and reliability. Its unparalleled quality and coverage have been fundamental to Bell's strong performance in a highly competitive wireless marketplace. And the best network continues to reach new milestones, including achieving an unprecedented 99% coverage of the Canadian population with full LTE services in 2017. Network leadership is what Bell is all about. For the last 138 years and going forward, as we leverage Bell's scale, our expertise, and commitment to ensure Canada remains a leader in the global telecommunications sector. In fact, Bell has led the way in making Canada the second highest among all G20 countries in terms of capital expenditures per customer on new wireless and wireline networks. Allocation of capital is a major strategic decision for your company, and we have made a conscious decision to allocate significant capital, significantly more than our competitors both here and around the world, with respect to our network CapEx. Bell's broadband strategy is delivering unmatched results for our stakeholders, for our shareholders, for our customers, and importantly, for the communities that we serve. And very importantly, we believe this positions us very well for the next decade and beyond. Now, in an intensely competitive communications marketplace, the Bell team also delivered another year of outstanding operational and financial performance in 2017. We welcomed more than 1.26 million new broadband, internet, TV, and postpaid wireless customers in 2017. We achieved steady increases in revenue and in adjusted EBITDA and in free cash flow that drives our network investments that I talked about, and our ability to create value for our shareholders with consistent and sustainable dividend growth. In February, we announced the 14th increase in BC's common share dividend since the end of 2008. This 5.2% increase raises the dividend to $3.02 per share for each share you own and represents the 10th consecutive year in which we have delivered dividend growth of 5% or better, while at the same time maintaining our dividend growth payout ratio within our target range of 65 to 75% of free cash flow. Since 2008, overall dividend growth has been 107%. Total shareholder return in that time has been more than 240%, which has significantly outpaced the return of the S&P TSX Composite Index. To further enhance shareholder value, we also recently completed $175 million share repurchase plan. Critical to Bell's transformation into Canada's leading broadband competitor has been our focus on increased productivity and cost savings. This includes our success in raising significant new funding in the capital markets at a reduced cost. We raised $3 billion in growth proceeds from the issuance of a series of MTN debentures in 2017, again, reducing our after-tax cost of publicly issued debt securities. We also made another voluntary $100 million contribution to our defined benefit pension plans. This moved us to a 97% solvency ratio and positions us to achieve a surplus in our defined benefit plans should interest rates rise. a major milestone from where we've come from. At the end of the year, BCE had more than $1.5 billion in available liquidity. Our prudent capital market strategy, healthy balance sheet, and stable investment growth ratings give us financial flexibility to achieve our broadband investment and shareholder value objectives. Bell also takes our role as a corporate leader in Canada very seriously. We are a 138-year-old institution with an unmatched legacy of technology and service leadership. The primary builder of Canada's communication infrastructure, a top employer, a widely held public company, and one of the leading brands in North America. We invest in the communities in which we serve, most visibly, of course, with our groundbreaking Bell Let's Talk Mental Health Initiative, which continues to set new records for engagement and actions each year. The Bell team and our pensioners also invest hundreds of thousands of volunteer hours in the communities, in community-based initiatives each year, and they donate millions of dollars to charities of all kinds through our annual employee giving campaign. Today, we now employ approximately 52,000 people, a diverse and talented team working in every province and territory in the country. And we are committed to ensuring that Bell is always a workplace of choice. In 2017, we were proud to again be recognized as one of Canada's top 100 employers, as well as one of the best 50 corporate citizens and a leading diversity employer. We were also honored to receive the federal government award for outstanding commitment to employment equity. Reflecting our leadership in environmental protection and sustainability, Bell was also recently named as one of Canada's greenest employers. You will hear more about the performance of our organization from our President and Chief Executive Officer, George Cope, including the ways we are building on Bell's success by entering new markets such as the connected home, leading innovation in the Internet of Things, and developing new digital media platforms as our industry evolves. George and his team have created an ambitious goal for your company. They created an ambitious goal for your company a decade ago, for Bell to be recognized by customers as Canada's leading communications company, and they have executed a clear strategy to achieve this. This leadership has positioned your company to guide the Canadian communications industry into the future. We are building on the proud Bell legacy with the investment, innovation, and execution required to lead the way to a broadband future. It is my privilege to serve as chair of the BC board, and an honor to work with my extraordinary colleagues on your board of directors. I thank them for their wisdom, their hard work, and their dedication to good governance on behalf of all shareholders. Today, more than ever, communications infrastructure is the backbone of economic and social prosperity. The confidence of our shareholders in Bell's strategy is enabling us to deliver world-class communications and media services to Canadians everywhere as we affirm our nation's ongoing leadership in the broadband world. So on behalf of everyone at BC and the Bell Group of Companies, we thank you for your support. Thanks very much. The meeting today will proceed as follows. After confirming the establishment of a quorum, we will proceed with the receipt of the 2017 consolidated financial statements and our auditor's report. We will then vote on the election of the board of directors, the appointment of our auditors, the advisory resolution on executive compensation, and one shareholder proposal. Our president and chief executive officer, George Cope, will then address the meeting, following which we will announce the results of the votes. And finally, we will conclude the meeting with an open question and comment period. So starting with agenda item number one, the scrutineers have provided me with a report on attendance, which will be filed with the records of this meeting. The attendance report, together with the proxies, which I hold, confirm that at least 25% of the outstanding shares of BC entitled to vote are present in person or by proxy at this meeting. I therefore declare that this meeting be properly constituted for the transaction of such business as may properly be brought before it. The next item on the agenda is item two, the BC Annual Report, for the year 2017, which contains the consolidated financial statements with the auditor's report thereon. A copy of the 2017 annual report will be filed with the records of this meeting. We have today with us representatives from your auditors, including Mr. Pierre Brodeur and Mr. Pascal Lamoureux, both partners of Deloitte, as well as Mr. Glenn LeBlanc, who is with me at the podium, our Chief Financial Officer, and they are happy to answer any questions that you may have relating specifically to our financial statements. So before we move any further, I briefly pause to ask if there are any questions specifically with respect to the financial statements. Thank you. If not, we will move on to the election of directors. The next item of business on the agenda is the election of our directors, of which there are 14 to be elected and 14 eligible candidates that have been nominated. I would now ask that each of the nominees for election to the Board of Directors stand as I call her or his name and remain standing until all nominees have been introduced. Mr. Barry Allen, Ms. Sophie Brochu, Mr. Robert Brown, Mr. George Cope, Mr. David Dennison, Mr. Robert Dexter, Mr. Ian Greenberg, Ms. Catherine Lee, Ms. Monique Leroux, Mr. Kalen Rovinescu, Ms. Karen Sharef, Mr. Robert Simmons, and Mr. Paul Weiss. Along with myself, Gordon Nixon, these are your board nominees. Are there any questions specifically with respect to the election of directors? Thank you, and seeing none, I will now ask Lynn Roy to propose the election of the nominees for the 14 director positions to be filed at today's meeting.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Lynn Roy, and I'm an employee and a proxy holder. I move that the 14 persons named as nominees in the management proxy circular be elected directors of BC Inc. until the end of the next annual shareholder meeting, or the date they cease to hold office.
Merci, Lewin. Tina Thorne, can you please second this motion?
Mr. Chair, my name is Tina Thorne, and I'm an employee and a shareholder, and I second this motion.
Thank you, Tina. We will now proceed with the vote, and I'm going to ask Michel to review the voting procedures.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. I remind you that if you have already voted by proxy, your vote will already have been compiled by the scrutineers and you do not need to vote again. Please take the ballot and place a check mark or X in the box labeled for or withhold next to each nominee's name. Hold on to your ballot as it will only be collected after the last vote is completed.
Please, take the ballot and place a check mark or X in the box labeled for or withhold next to each nominee's name. Hold on to your ballot as it will only be collected after the last vote is completed.
Thank you, Michelle. We are now going to move to agenda item 4, the appointment of our auditors. Are there any questions regarding the appointment of auditors? Seeing none, I would again ask Lynn Roy to propose the appointment of Deloitte as auditors of BCE.
Mr. Chair, my name is Lynn Roy, and I'm both an employee and a proxy holder. I move that Deloitte be appointed as auditors of BCE until the next annual shareholder meeting.
Thank you, Lynn. I would now ask Enza Michelino to second the motion. Enza.
Hi, Mr. Chair. My name is Enza Michelino, and I'm employing shareholder, and I second the motion.
Thank you, Enza. We will now proceed with the vote. Michelle?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So same process. Please take the ballot and place a check mark or X for the appointment of the auditors in the box labeled for or withhold. As previously indicated, please hold on to your ballot until all votes are completed.
Thank you, Michelle. The next item on the agenda is the advisory vote on BC's approach to executive compensation. We are very proud that our approach to executive compensation, which is based on a fundamental principle of pay for performance, has been endorsed by over 90% of our shareholders since we started holding say-on-pay votes in 2010. Are there any questions regarding our advisory vote on executive compensation? And I know there is one. Monsieur Gagnon.
Mr. Chairman, good morning. Willy Gagnon, representing MEDAC, Mouvement d'éducation et de défense des actionnaires. As is the case each year, we make the rounds of annual meetings. We're happy that you're holding a say-on-pay vote. Not everyone is doing it yet, but it's to your credit. Like each year, we calculate the remuneration ratio at BC, which was 134 in 1994, in 2014, rather, 129 in 2015, and 135 this year, actually in 2017. You know that publication of that ratio is now mandatory in the United States, that standard calculation method has been imposed so that the ratios be comparable. We're aware that there are distortions depending on sectors, depending on countries. We're also well aware that it's possible to compensate for those distortions. We assume that you take into account the remuneration ratio at BC, although you don't publish it. So we would invite you to publish the ratio. It would be an interesting data point. If you persist in not publishing it, however, please publish the information that we need to calculate it. For example, the number of full-time equivalent employees. I don't know if you publish it, but I know that you don't publish the median salary. That information would allow us to calculate. You know the Meridian report commissioned by Canada's banks a few years ago that recommended taking that ratio into account, and we dare hope that you will take it into account. Your ratio is fairly high. There are some companies in Canada that are in exactly the same industry and that pay their president and CEO between $3 and $5 million. So they're doing roughly the same job for about half the pay. We would invite you, obviously, to exercise more restraint, please. And once again, we would invite shareholders to vote against your executive compensation policy.
Merci, Monsieur Gagnon. And yes, you're absolutely correct. This is something that's moved into the United States, and it may well at some point come to Canada, and we'll certainly take that under advisement. The only thing I would point out, just because I feel I have to, is that yes, there are some companies in the telecommunications industry where the CEO is paid less. We are the largest and most complex, and our largest competitors pay significantly more than does BCE. And if you check this year's proxy circular, you'll see that happening once again. So we do have a system which has a lot of integrity placed into it, and I think on a comparative basis you would see that reflected. But we certainly appreciate your comments, and we recognize this is an issue that is becoming more commonplace. Are there any other questions on our say for pay? Okay, if not, I would now ask Carolyn King to move the approval of the advisory resolution on executive compensation.
Mr. Chair, my name is Carolyn King, and I'm an employee and a shareholder. I move that the advisory resolution on executive compensation be approved.
Thank you. Michelle Mendez, can you please second the motion?
Mr. Chair, my name is Michelle Mendez, and I am an employee and shareholder. I second the motion.
Thank you, Michelle. And we will now take the vote. Michelle.
Thank you. Please, once again, take the ballot and place a check mark or X in the box labeled for or against the advisory resolution on executive compensation.
So, please take the ballot and place a check mark or X in the box labeled for or against the advisory resolution on executive compensation.
Merci, Michelle. The last matter to be voted on today is the shareholder proposal, which has been submitted by MEDAC. The text of the shareholder proposal and the position of your board of directors are set out on page 78 of the proxy circular. And I will now entertain a motion from MEDAC regarding the shareholder proposal and once again invite Monsieur Willy Gagnon to make a brief presentation in this regard. Monsieur Gagnon.
Monsieur le Président, bonjour.
Mr. Chairman, thank you once again. Willy Gagnon on behalf of MEDAC. Before talking about the shareholder proposal, I would like to make a brief comment on another proposal that we had submitted to BCE, that is on page 79 of the shareholder proposal on Schedule A. It related to a concern we had in respect of the independence of your compensation advisors, and you have demonstrated that you had exactly the same concern as we did, and you demonstrated that you retained the services of another firm of compensation advisors, and we are pleased with this. You understand why you get those proposals. We're not necessarily aware of that information prior to the deadline for submitting shareholder proposals, and we certainly would not have submitted it had we known that in advance. Now, the proposal that we did maintain, it is proposed that the Board of Directors cease to use comparisons with other comparable companies to determine the compensation of its Board of Directors. It is well known that the use of comparisons, comparison groups, has a spin-off effect on remuneration for directors for all public companies. Only 2 days ago, Yvan Allaire of the Institut de Gouvernance des Organisations Publiques, IGOP, a think tank that was created by Mr. Jarislowsky, who cannot be called a communist, said, and I quote, and I'm not sure how aware you are of the effect of the distortion if this creates in terms of wages. So once again, it's a question of money. We would call upon all shareholders of BCE to vote in favor of our proposal. And, of course, I would like to hear what you have to say on the issue.
Mr. Gagnon. And we would now ask Carolyn King to second that motion. Carolyn.
Mr. Chair, my name is Carolyn King, and I am an employee and a shareholder. I second the motion.
Thank you. And as we said, the response from the Board of Directors is contained in the proxy circular. Okay, thank you. Are there any further questions regarding that proposal? Seeing none, we will now proceed to a vote. Michelle, over to you again.
Thank you. So please take the ballot once again and place a check mark or X in the box, this time labeled for or against the advisory, for the shareholder proposal or withhold.
Thank you, Michelle. The question submitted to a vote being completed, I ask the representatives of AST collect the ballots. The results will be announced before the question and comment period. We'll just pause briefly while the ballots are collected. Okay, I think that's all of them. So it is now my pleasure to ask George Cope, our President and Chief Executive Officer, to address the meeting. George.
Thank you, Gord. Good morning, everyone. What a tremendous turnout this morning, so thank you for taking the time to hear about your company. I want to, of course, welcome our shareholders, our team members of Bell, but also a special shout-out for our retirees of Bell, who are in the audience today as well. Thank you for being here, and thank you for your service over the years and continued support, even in your retirement, from the company. So I'm really excited this morning to tell you how your company is doing. As Gord talked about, there's a lot of exciting things going on, all which I think put us in a great position in the marketplace going forward. And if someone always asks me, you know, is this industry, is exciting. There is nothing more exciting almost globally than what's going on in the space that Bell Canada is involved with. So many different businesses changing so many different ways in a productive way. And, of course, we go back many, many years, established in 1880, and we were looking a couple of days ago. The first meeting was in Toronto, and there was an estimate of about six people in the room, and we had run the first long-distance line from Toronto to Hamilton. So it's amazing how the company has changed, but in one sense still exactly the same, providing communication services to Canadians. We, of course, have grown a little bit since then. It really is quite remarkable when you step back and think about how we affect Canadians every day. 22 million connections across the country, significant revenue, significant enterprise value, as you all would know. But I always find this, and this number really quite staggering to put in context our importance to the economy. One out of 395 Canadians working today in Canada work for your company. So our position in the country, obviously very important to the economy, and those of us who work here, we all know very fortunate to be a part of this company. How our revenue mix has changed. It's really incredible if you think about our legacy, that the home phone is now only 8% of your company's revenue, our fastest area of growth being wireless and broadband, both those businesses growing well in excess of GDP growth. Wireless this morning of about 10% revenue growth, broadband growth of about 6%. So, you know, we're investing where there is growth, but of course our traditional businesses still generate significant cash flow for the organization. And, you know, when you step back, you think about the Bell brand and how important it is for us and what we do in the marketplace. So we are involved now with so many different brands through partnerships, ownership, or relationships. Important strategic ones like Virgin Mobile, which is our 100% owned wireless flanker brand, if you will. The Source, the second largest electronics retailer in the country. CTV, the number one network in the country. Radio stations like 104 Chum FM in Toronto, 1010 Radio, all the way through to a significant outdoor business and some pretty unique sports assets as well that we all have an ownership in and an interest in and are watching with some excitement tonight. Our goal and our objectives have always been clear the last 10 years. We've relied on these strategic imperatives. Everything we do in the company is focused on these six strategic imperatives. And if we're successful in addressing those imperatives in the marketplace, you as shareholders will continue to do well because success here, without a doubt, drives returns on capital for our shareholders. So I'm going to talk about where we are with each of these imperatives, give you a little bit of update on what went on in 17, but a little more focus on what we're trying to do going forward. Clearly, as Gord mentioned, significant amount of focus on the broadband side. That is where our capital is being spent. That is the future of this organization. Over $4 billion a year is invested. If you think about it in context, over the next 5 years, more than, you know, $20 billion plus will be spent in broadband investments across our footprint. So significant capital being invested. And, of course, we've got to get the customers and drive the revenue to get you the appropriate return. And as you've seen the cover of our annual report, we've had a lot of fun with this term, It's On, which is really signifying the launch of fiber right here in Toronto. There's no other Internet technology in the world as advanced as we now have. A $1.5 billion investment in Toronto alone and the competitive impact that's going to have for us on the Internet going forward, you will see in the years to come. We also just announced that we will now move our attention to 905. That's another 1.33 million businesses and homes to cover, and that will be a very significant program, again, well over $1 billion to make that investment and overlay our networks. And as Gord said, we're really rebuilding our network from ground zero. We're starting over, and we're running this fiber or glass, if you will, right from one of those Bell CO buildings, right to a home or right to a business, at a price of about $2,000 by the time you connect the home. And, of course, if you only get one out of two homes, it's $4,000. So it's a significant investment we are making in the future of the company and what we believe the Internet will continue to become. But it's important for shareholders to know we haven't just done Toronto. We will exit this year with well over probably about 4.5 million actual businesses and homes covered with fiber. And all these different markets are in the midst of being built or have been built. Goes, you know, if you take a look in Quebec, we've done Trois-Rivières on the East Coast, where we've done St. John's and a number of other markets. We've been in Peterborough, Kingston, Sudbury, and just announced Oshawa. So it's not just happening in the urban markets. It's happening in some of the smaller markets in the country as well. And in every one of those markets, we just become more competitive as we do this. And, of course, all of that investment is focused on driving our wireline business growth, or momentum as we call it. And this is the opportunity for us. We are the largest internet provider in the country today with a little over 3.8 million subscribers. This morning we announced our internet results and saw growth in our number of net adds in the quarter. But there is a significant opportunity for you as investors here as well, really from three areas. One, the usage of the internet continues to grow about 30% a year. So clearly it's a product in demand, and we all know that sitting here. Two, although we're the largest, if you add up some of our competitors like Videotron, Cogeco, and Rogers, we are not number one in market share. So we have about a 10% market share opportunity to get to one out of two with this investment. And finally, because of our investments on the East Coast with Bell Alliance, the acquisition of MTS in Manitoba, we now cover 70% of Canada's footprint with our wireline network. With housing starts of about 200,000 a year, we're in about 70,000 of that geography, so 140,000 to 160,000 additional homes a year being added as well for us to invest in and see growth if we are successful in getting those customers. And why the investment? We talked about it continually with the investment community. You know, the home has changed so much in terms of connecting to the internet. If you go back to an annual meeting here we would have had in 2008, we would have said to you three devices in the home are connected to the internet. Today we're at 12 to 13 devices. Some of you in the room will have 30 devices already connected. And ultimately every one of you in the room will go 30 devices or more will be connected to the internet. And so this fiber to the home sets us up, quite frankly, for many, many years out and a significant opportunity for us. Once you have the connection in the home, what's become also very important strategically is the Wi-Fi in the house, because, of course, if you're not plugged in directly, you have to have this wireless service in your home. So we've launched this tremendous new technology that is really quite unique in the world that extends the coverage in your home with these unique devices that you can actually plug into the wall. And maybe we'll do is just quickly run the ads to give you a visual on what we're doing with this product that we've recently launched. If we could run that, please.
Here's to the rooms that Wi-Fi forgot. The ones left in the dust, ignored, out of reach of the router. Don't worry, smart and fast Wi-Fi has arrived. Introducing Whole Home Wi-Fi. Cover every room with smart Whole Home Wi-Fi. Only from Bell.
So imagine just how simple that technology appears, what it does to improve your service in the home. And it's a smart technology because it allows us now, if you're having a network issue, because of this technology, we can actually help you resolve it without necessarily having to do a truck roll to the home, which ultimately helps us with a service experience for our customers and, in one sense, cost. And, of course, for us, it isn't all about the consumer. You know, it sometimes gets lost because so much is talked about the next iPhone and the next wireless piece. But, you know, we do about $8 billion business with the business community in Canada, whether or not it's Bell Media, wireless, or wireline. And all of these different brands on the page rely on us every single day to really operate the country's infrastructure behind the scenes. So the internet provides a significant opportunity for us here as well in this new term you're going to hear a lot talked about called Internet of Things. And that business is going to grow significantly for us over the next 5 to 6 years, from basically very little today to well over $1 billion business in the next 5 to 6 years. And it will be probably 10 million additional connections to our wireless network over the next 5 to 6 years, small amounts of money per device used by the business community. And if you think about each of these offerings, smart city, building and utilities, logistics, we're in the midst of doing this now with over 150 different relationships we're building on, connected vehicles, and obviously you have to have the most significant and effective network if you're going to have these vehicles connected right to our wireless network. So we're in a tremendous position with these investments. And not to be lost in our business growth has been our success in the TV business. We went from probably the fourth largest TV provider about 5 or 6 years ago to now number one by far, the largest provider of TV services in Canada with our satellite and IPTV service, and it's been tremendous growth for us. But of course, you know, the industry is changing. There was this time when it was everyone watching one screen. And it looks a long time ago, but it wasn't really all that long ago. But today, this is why we have the opportunity. But of course, because everyone in the home is viewing a different screen, and every one of those, of course, are products that we provide. And I think Mom's really saying, would someone please pay attention to me in that picture? But anyway, you can see the benefits of the technology, and one-to-one is where we have to play in the world of TV going forward. So we've launched an additional TV service last year on top of our IPTV or Fibe TV and on top of satellite called Alt TV. And this targets particularly the condominium markets and all the markets that we're in, but you think of Toronto where there's such significant growth there, where you can actually take this TV service without a set-top box, stream the product, and buy it basically for $15, $20 less than traditional TV, because we don't have to do the truck roll, install the actual device in the home. And we think it's going to be significant growth for us. And if we can capture the OTT world as well as the TV world, it's also very strategically important for our investment in the media assets, Bell Media. So watch this in the marketplace. It's going to be very important for us going forward. And we are the first in Canada to do this in our footprint, and we think it's going to be a real game changer for us in the change of viewership and habits of consumers. And, of course, that fits perfectly in with our ownership of Bell Media, by far the largest media company in the country, number one in so many positions, really proud of our national news. It is just close now to having about 200% the viewership of our largest competitor, CBC. TSN moving back into number one in sports. Our digital platforms, radio platforms, and CP24, by far the largest viewed TV channel in the city in Toronto here. So great assets that we have. We have to, of course, now leverage them in the OTT world, not just in the traditional linear TV world, and that's where our product Alt TV and this product you've seen advertised over and over again called Crave TV, if you will, position just for the future. And this is an incredible streaming service that we have. It's growing as we had planned, and great content with HBO, Showtime, and now Stars. So setting our media assets up for tomorrow while leveraging the position that we have in the marketplace today. And, of course, we own the sports teams. And, you know, we don't own sports teams because a number of people love sports, and I'm one of them that clearly loves sports. But we own them for a very different reason. We own them for the content. By owning the sports teams, we've secured some of that content for Bell Media. And 7 or 8, 9 years ago, we saw the opportunity with the coming of the PVR and all the technology. Live TV events were going to be more valuable, and certainly sports in Canada is extremely valuable, and no one wants a PVR, a sporting event, because you can't hide from what the outcome of that event was. So it secured us access to the content, and as I tell people, you're supposed to be perfectly hedged if you own part of the Montreal Canadiens and part of the Toronto Maple Leafs, but it looks like we should own part of the Winnipeg Jets at this point in terms of what's going on. But this is when it really pays off. The victories, of course, are fantastic, but it's the viewership as to why we own these assets. TSN setting records with soccer, the largest viewership in Canada ever for a soccer game with 2 million viewers, and the Grey Cup, the largest viewership in years at 6 million with the Argonauts win, all carried on your broadcast network, and that's really the integral part of our ownership of the teams. And, of course, as I say, we have an important event tonight, which hopefully will continue to drive their winning ways. I mentioned our fastest growth area is wireless. This is critical to the growth of the company. We reported a strong quarter this morning with our growth up 90% year over year in net adds, which is really quite staggering if you think about the maturity of the wireless business. And our investments continue here. This is something your management team at Bell is really proud of, and it's really helped us in the marketplace. We've gone from a network 10 years ago that I would say was lagging our competitors and lagging the world to now leading our competitors. We would say our network's roughly twice as fast as our largest competitor here. and generally one of the fastest networks in the world. I think there's only one other network country that has faster networks than us, and that's South Korea. And there's no coincidence that happened because they just had the Olympics. But why don't we run an ad that we've been running? Hopefully you've seen it, just positioning our network from a global perspective. We could just run that, please.
The Bell Mobile Network is amazingly fast. In fact, it's faster than networks in New York, Tokyo, Tel Aviv, Helsinki, Moscow, Paris, Brussels, Shanghai, Los Angeles, Bangkok, Mexico City, Rio de Janeiro, Buenos Aires, and many more. So if you want to download, stream, and share with blazing fast speed, get on Bell, Canada's best national network.
So, and of course, you know that if you travel globally, because you get off the plane, you turn on your phone, and you go, why did it slow down? Trust us, that's not us. That's because the wireless network you're on is not as good as the network you're on here in Canada. We are clearly now providing services that are superior to anywhere else in the world you can get other than the one country I mentioned. And this year is going to be, we are actually in Mississauga in the midst of some trials and launching of speeds that will see people get speeds of up to 1 gig on their wireless handset, which is absolutely unbelievable. We just would not have thought it was possible 5 to 7 years ago. And there's more to happen here as we go forward. So growth is important for us here, and we had a very positive 2017. We were number one in net adds against our largest two competitors, and of course with our very important acquisition in Manitoba with MTS, we were able to add another 314,000 subscribers to our wireless base. And as I said, because that's the fastest area of growth, and if you're adding the most customers, that's a good formula for your shareholders going forward. We launched a new brand late last year. You may not know it's us, but it's called Lucky Mobile. One area we probably were not as competitive in as we wanted to be was in a segment known as prepaid. And so we've launched this brand. It is a low-cost, low-price wireless service to target a market where we maybe not had played as successfully in as one of our competitors. That's launched, starting to see some early momentum, and should add some additional subscribers and revenue growth for our business. And over time, we see that customers sometimes will start on a brand like Lucky Mobile and prepaid and move to postpaid. And if you already have that relationship, it's easier for us to migrate them to Virgin or Bell over time. This is something we're very proud of, and maybe a recognition of our network leadership now. At the end of the year, the federal government chose us as their exclusive wireless carrier going forward. So 230,000 wireless customers are moving from our largest competitor to us. And this room understands hockey analogy for sure. So that is a true four-point game. 460,000 swing, and a contract for us will probably end up being well worth more than $400 million. So tremendous for us going forward in that space. Another imperative for us has always been this journey on making sure we continue to improve our customer service to our client base. And when we have 22 million clients, and do the math, if you're 99% excellent, but you're 1% not. Think of how many clients you've disappointed times a multiple of telling other people. So even at 99% service levels, we're not going to ever be done this journey. I can tell you we are absolutely continuing to move the right direction. Our external ratings for people leveraging and using our handsets now for service is ranked 4 out of 5 as an app in the Apple environment, which is a very high rating to achieve. Self-service transactions increased again year over year 15%. Our customers that were losing to wireless declined year over year. And, of course, something we're incredibly proud of is, you know, our customers rate our folks who show up at the home in a 95% satisfaction level, and 98% of the time they're on time. We just finished our first quarter this morning. It was, without a doubt, our best quarter of service in years for our customer base. We're not done the journey, but call volumes were down, service levels were up, satisfaction with what we were doing was up. So we know we're on the right track. But when you are on the bleeding edge of some of these technologies, it doesn't always go exactly as we want, but you have our commitment. As you as shareholders and many of you as customers, this journey continues and it's moving in the right direction. And one external validation of that was just last week where Virgin Mobile, that's our company, same service level that we provide Bell customers but a different price point in the marketplace, was just awarded as number one in customer service in Canada over all wireless carriers in the country, and that includes the large carriers, including it outranked Bell, TELUS, and Rogers, and outranked Fido and everyone else. So very proud of the team, and that's the second year in a row that that brand has had that recognition. Now, one of the other imperatives for us has been making sure our cost structure stays in line globally, and our large acquisitions have helped us build some scale, and it's made a significant difference. And because our margins in wireline are running significantly higher than our global peers, AT&T or Verizon, or our peer here in Canada, it's given us that headroom to make the investment in fiber. If you look in the U.S., those two companies, which are excellent operators, are not putting as much money per population as we are in fiber, and I believe it's because we run now, without a doubt, the most efficient telephone company in North America. And it's made a significant difference for you as shareholders. And we've done that while improving service to our customers. Of course, the ultimate test for this room is how are we doing for our shareholders? As Gord mentioned, we've been on a journey for 10 years since the failed transaction of Go Private of Bell Canada. Our strategy for shareholders was provide you a dividend growth model. That will continue. That's the direction we think is right for this company. We've had 10 years of sustained dividend growth with a return of over 250% if you bought the stock in 2008, and some of you may have bought the stock even years before that. The last 5 years, at the year end, we are with our peers, and so very positive indeed. Now, as you all know, it's been a little rough the first 3 or 4 months. Part of that's got to do with interest rates and different things going on. As long-term shareholders, trust me, our strategy is doing what it needs to do. Our cash flow is growing, and we will, as a management team, put our head down and keep working on your behalf. And as everyone knows, there's no guarantee for our stock's performance going forward. But I've been in the industry 34 years. This company has never been better positioned. Our position with fiber for 5G in the IoT world is going to be the envy of the world in terms of the position we have from the technology investment that your board of directors is supporting us to make going forward. So we are extremely well positioned strategically. Now it's over to management to execute that strategy for you and continue to bring Canadians to our services. So that's the formal part of my presentation. I just want to end with an update on Bell Let's Talk. As Gordon mentioned, you know, Bell's been so fortunate to be a part of Canada since the late 1800s. One of our responsibilities, obviously, with being so fortunate as a company, is to give back to the community. Our focus 6-7 years ago became mental health. I think our brand attached to this has really helped the conversation. We focus in 4 pillars. Our total commitment to mental health is about to surpass $100 million. We've really tried to walk the talk within the company workplace. We've supported research. We've put our name on buildings. No corporation in the world had ever put its name on a mental health building, so we could get the conversation going that every illness, this illness is no different than any other illness, and we should talk about it. And, of course, our real focus, anti-stigma, where we've been able to make a difference with the help of our friends at Bell Media and the help of all of our competitors on Bell Let's Talk Day and the help of all Canadians, where millions and millions of Canadians get involved that day, and every time they click a phone, internet, or anything, Bell spends 5 more cents towards mental health. And maybe to give you a summary just how significant that day was this year, we'll just run a few-minute video to give you an update on just what Canadians did on Bell Let's Talk Day this year. If we could run the video, please.
This is the annual Bell Let's Talk Day for Mental Health.
In support of mental health initiatives across Canada.
We can all end the stigma around mental illness by talking openly and sharing our stories.
It's as easy as this to make a difference for mental health today.
Every phone call, every text, every social interaction on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Snapchat. People across Canada use their voices to spread the message. And once again, we shattered records.
Truly now in year 8, it is overwhelming how Canadians are showing their support for mental health, and it's a really good day for mental health in Canada.
8 years ago, Bell Let's Talk started a conversation about mental health.
I could probably sum it up in the fact that I was driving home and I looked up and there was a huge billboard. Would that have been there 10 years ago? Exactly. The fact that it is a phenomenal thing.
Millions of people across Canada joined the conversation, and we shared their stories of struggle, recovery, and hope.
I went through a pretty bad depression. It was hell for a long time.
At that time, I felt lonely. I felt judged.
I felt like I wasn't going to be able to be happy again.
We look at it as something that we will tackle together.
Je me dis que je ne suis pas seul. Car notre vie.
I know that I'm not alone and I can have a normal life like everyone.
Margaret Trudeau's 2010 book, Changing My Mind. And my grandmother really looked up to Margaret Trudeau, and it was someone that she identified with. And we gave her the book and she read it and she was like, wow, I can't believe this woman went through this incredible struggle. I was like, Grandma, I'm also going through that struggle. And it totally changed the way that my family interacted.
It all begins with a small conversation.
It's worth it. It really is. To fight your way back.
Canadians united to talk openly and honestly about mental health, because mental health affects us all.
You can still be a big, tough guy and be a warrior and still have, mental health issues.
I am not ashamed, I am not embarrassed, and I am not weak.
This is a mental illness. It's very different from feeling sad.
I think it's so important for me to, like, talk about it and share my story because I'm comfortable with it, and I want everyone else to know, like, hey, it's okay to talk about if you're struggling.
We got all of Canada talking.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today to remind everyone in this House across Canada that today is Bell Let's Talk Day. This is a great time to let folks know that we're listening and that we support them.
If you can understand that as soon as you start talking about it, it's therapeutic. Since I've been involved, I've had so many people reach out to me, it's not even funny. I'm pumped that you and I are talking about this.
This is a great thing that Bell is doing, Bell corporately and Bell Media, because we need to sort of keep working at telling people it's okay, and it's not only is it okay, you've got to tell people and you've got to get help.
You are not alone. We are here to listen.
And the conversation went global.
Congratulations to Bell for doing that. I wish we had a company in America who had the balls to do what Bell's doing.
Bell Let's Talk, the number one hashtag worldwide right now.
Committing millions more to move mental health forward in Canada, Bell's support of mental health initiatives is growing each year, making a big impact to create a stigma-free Canada.
We doubled the amount we invest in the community fund annually from $1 to $2 million.
And all of this would not be possible without the voices of Canadians.
C'est-à-dire qu'il y a une meilleure compréhension à chaque année.
Every year that passes, we have to share the message.
Matters. And it doesn't stop there.
Continuez à en parler.
I'm telling my story. Join the conversation.
Together, we are making a difference.
So your company is doing well in the marketplace. We're also obviously really proud of this program. Thank you for joining us. I'll turn the meeting back over to Gord. Thank you.
Thank you, George, and in a minute we'll be coming back to Q&A where you can ask George anything you would like. I now call upon Ms. Jeanine Rigon to read the results of the scrutineer's preliminary tabulation of today's votes. The scrutineer's report in final form will be available shortly after the meeting. Jeanine.
Mr. Chair, all directors' nominees received at least 94% of votes for. Approximately 95% of votes are favorable to the appointment of Deloitte as auditors. The advisory resolution on executive compensation is approved by approximately 92%. The shareholders' proposal received approximately 97% votes against.
Thank you very much, Jeanine. I can therefore confirm that the director nominees are elected, that Deloitte LLP is appointed as auditors, that the advisory resolution on executive compensation is approved and that the shareholder proposal has been defeated. We are now ready to open the floor for questions or for comments. If you have a question or a comment related to our services, a customer service booth has been set up in the hall just outside the room where a service representative will be happy to assist you. Also, if you have any questions regarding shareholder services, you may go to the registration booth in the hall where representatives of our stock transfer agent, AST, will be available to assist you. Since there are a number of shareholders present, to respect the right of all shareholders to have the opportunity to be heard, we ask that you limit the time of each question or comment to a maximum of 2 minutes. Please first state your name before starting your question or comment and indicate if you are a shareholder or a proxy holder. I will now open the question and comment period and ask that our President Chief Executive Officer, George Cope, take the podium. The floor is open for questions.
Good morning. Gary Norris, independent shareholder. I have to express my dismay at the involvement of Bell Media in an apparent corporate conspiracy to limit the growth of democracy in Ontario. I refer you to something that appeared on the Toronto Star site this morning regarding the exclusion of the Green Party from the televised debates. And a couple of things have happened in recent years that that make it necessary for the Greens to be on, the main one being the change in electoral financing under which they receive a per-vote subsidy like the other parties. Now, many people are not aware that when you cast a vote, you are also providing money to the party that you cast your vote for. It seems reasonable that the electorate should get to see what they're paying for. More generally, democracy around the world, as we're seeing in places like the United States, more positively perhaps in France, where Emmanuel Macron didn't even have a party 6 months before the election that made him president. There are major changes underway. People are tired of the political establishment, and we haven't really had an explanation from the broadcast consortium as to why the Greens are being excluded, except that they don't have a seat, which rather makes it chicken and egg, cart before horse situation. Now, the Star ran a quick poll. It's online. You can see it. Last I looked at it, it was 80% of Star respondents online favoring the Greens being allowed. I don't know whether anybody from Bell Media is here that can specifically address this or whether you'd like to, Mr. Cope.
Say, first of all, thank you for your comments. I think your explanation is excellent. And let me take it away. I will take your comments away. And I've not consulted with our media folks on this issue, but I thank you very much for raising it. And I think your explanation was first class. Thank you.
Observation regarding executive compensation. At this time of year, we all get inundated with proxy circulars from various corporations. I don't know whether anybody else has noticed that there seems to be a direct relationship between the number of pages devoted to explaining and justifying the approach to executive compensation and your astonishment when you get to the summary of how much the top guy is getting paid. In the 1970s, your typical CEO was paid about 20 times the average industrial wage. That's now gone to 200 times, and without wanting to deprecate the genius at the front of the room, I'm not sure that you work 10 times as hard and are 10 times as smart as the guys back then. The advisory votes, of course, tend to go strongly in favor of management because it's mostly other managements that are voting. I don't know whether it's fair to say that there's sort of the rumble of the tumbrils far in the distance approaching this whole issue of the vast disparity and inequality of incomes in this country and elsewhere. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for your comments. We now have a question on microphone number one.
Yeah, just 1 second here. I've got to pull up my question stuff. So my name is Dave Sauer. I am a proxy for several shareholders, including Team IFPTE, the union that represents middle management, supervisors, and professionals working at Bell MTS in Manitoba. It's important to us that BCE is successful and that our community benefits both benefits in both advanced technology and high-skilled jobs opportunities. The accelerated investment in Manitoba's communication infrastructure is the most welcome, especially in the smaller communities. I saw a number of them listed on that display you had up there. However, the idea that MTS would be the Western Canadian headquarters is ringing a little hollow. Synergies mostly in the way of job reductions are an expected byproduct of an acquisition. However, taking the broader view, there may be employees outside the acquired operation who would welcome the opportunity to depart the company early. To date, the Manitoba operation has seen significant reductions in the middle management and professionals' roles, with more planned over the coming year. It is felt that there is still time to consider the benefits of moving forward with the intent to meet the commitments made by this board. Manitoba has much to contribute to BC's continued success. Not the least is the very loyal customer base, because MTS was a true Manitoba operation and not just another outpost of a larger operation. We have a very dedicated local workforce who are part of that community and have always gone above and beyond in delivering excellent service. Manitoba has other benefits, such as some of the lowest electricity costs in North America, a very stable and educated workforce, generally more affordable cost of living, an excellent hockey team, Go Jets Go this evening, who happen to play in the Bell MTS Center. I can share with you that our organization has met with close to 40 elected officials in Manitoba of all levels of government. We've met with business leaders and we've met with media individuals in the media about the acquisition and ongoing integration of MTS into Bell. The consensus is that Bell's statements were important in support of that acquisition. As such, it's important to the reputation of BCE, this board, and to BCE's future move west that it can be trusted to make good on its commitments. My question to the board is, bearing in mind the commitment made to Manitoba and the shareholders, will the board look again at their policy for Bell MTS and specifically concerning high-skilled middle management and other high-skilled opportunities for Manitoba? Thank you.
Well, let me take the question. First, thank you for the comment. The question, every one of the comments, I think I virtually agree with, especially the Winnipeg Jets one. But on a serious note, we are actually ahead of our investment in Manitoba commitment. For the rest of the folks in the room, one of the things we announced on the acquisition of MTS is we'd make $1 billion investment over 5 years. There's no doubt that will happen. It'll likely end up being more because, quite frankly, because of scale, and I think generally acknowledged, is the asset itself standalone was not making the investments. We've doubled the speed of the wireless network there. We are in the midst of starting to build out fiber. So a lot of key things are going on, and we think the labor force in Manitoba, as you do, is excellent. We think it's an opportunity for us. In fact, some roles that were in other parts of the country, some of them were looked particularly at the province. So we are extremely excited about the early results, about the opportunity for folks and the opportunity to continue making the investment. And if there's any message, I think it will end up being more than the billion over the 5 years, which is a benefit clearly to the province. But we don't do it just for that reason. We do it for the shareholders because we believe it'll increase your return on what was an investment of over $4 billion to make that acquisition. Thank you very much for the comments.
We're going to go to three, then two, then one. Sorry, three, two, one.
Good morning. My name is Krutik, and I'm an employee and a shareholder here. My question is, there was a recent article in the media about a customer that sued the company for price increases, and I was just curious as to whether this is setting a precedent, because I know this is something that we were looking at pretty frequently in the customer services department. So what's your take on that, and where does Bell see it going?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for what you do for us every day. Thanks for asking the question. I'm not going to comment on a court issue. There was that very specific court case. I'd like to leave that. But in the marketplace, as I said, it's our best quarter we've had in service in years. There's no doubt what we do in the marketplace is highly competitive. mean, it's incredibly competitive if you watch what's going on. So our pricing has to reflect that. The other side of that is our products are being used 30 to 35% more per year, and we're investing on behalf of our shareholders $4 billion of capital this year. And part of that, of course, return comes from how are we able to price our products in the marketplace based on increased usage. And one thing for sure is our pricing has never come close to increasing at the rate of the extra usage of our product. There's no doubt the actual marginal price of our product for usage is dropping in the marketplace for sure from an investment perspective.
Thank you.
Microphone number two.
Vito Brandolini, and I'm a shareholder. Just a simple question. Has Bell done a risk assessment regarding the cell phone transmission towers that Bell places on residential buildings?
Yeah, what I would answer is we specifically do not, but as the we follow 100% the guidelines of what is set by Canada's medical community and the rules that Industry Canada, or now known as ISED, has put in place, and we are well below any of those standards in the products that we sell. So we absolutely follow that legislation and always will. So we have to follow that leadership. There have been different work done around the globe, and based on that globe, the government sets a standard, and then our products have to be below that standard, and of course we are below that standard. It's an excellent question. Thank you.
Yes, but is Bell aware that these are prohibited in most all countries in the world on residential buildings because of the question of radiation harm?
Well, let me come back. I'm not sure you and I would agree on that point, but rather than do that, that's not, I don't think, productive. I think the productive thing is we will always follow the guidelines set by the Canadian government, and if the guidelines change, we would change. And whatever those guidelines are, and, of course, as I mentioned to everyone in the room, we're well below any guidelines that have been established by the government, and we will follow that. And as you know, Canada is a world leader in many areas. You can rest assured our government's a world leader in making sure it understands our technologies, and that's what we pursue. So thank you.
However, the courts may view this totally in an independent way based on what's done around the world and what is known scientifically.
Well, and you know, maybe one more response to it. We should have Health Canada. They would tell you that they would use global standards to set those standards. I can assure you of that. And that's probably all I can
but
add
Bell
to the topic.
But Bell should really look into it, because as a shareholder, I'm worried about financial liability, of course, and the courts being independent might say, well, why would you follow just Canada's Health Canada regarding when the rest of the world prohibits such a thing?
Well, okay, as a shareholder, rest assured, yes, we will always follow the guidelines and the law of the land in Canada. We will do that.
Thank you. Number one. Thank you.
Hi. My name is Nicole Weil, and I'm a shareholder. 2009, I experienced a fire that I did not have insurance for. I unfortunately lost my certificate, and I'm just curious if I am able to quantify assistance today to regain that certificate.
I think what I'm going to do, if you don't mind, is right after the meeting have someone come up and try to understand specifically what you're asking. We will make sure we do that for you. Thank you for raising it, and I'm sorry to hear of the impact for you on 2009. Let's make sure we do that.
Number three.
Good morning, Mr. Nixon, Mr. Cope. My name is John Flanagan, and I'm a shareholder. I have a page full of notes, but I'm going to limit it to two. You brought up Lucky Mobile, which is prepaid. Is that replacing Solo? Because my wife is still on Solo, and she likes her $12 a month prepaid Solo. The second item I wanted to cover was with respect to Bell Let's Talk. In my late 30s, early 40s, I was diagnosed with depression, Asperger's syndrome, as well as bipolar disorder. So I'm very grateful that Bell is leading that initiative. However, I'd like to the company to put a more positive spin on it. Instead of referring to it as mental illness, refer to it as mental health challenges.
Well, let me start with the I think the lighter topic. The Solo brand was a discount brand we did used to have a number of years ago. So you're not incorrect in one sense of thinking of Lucky Mobile, maybe of targeting the market that was once the Solo brand. I think there would be, and that's a number of years ago we pulled out of that segment. So, yeah, that would be correct. And on your second comment, I think your comment's excellent, sir. And frankly, I would have some personal views myself about what we exactly call the illness. And so you and I may align more than you think, but I don't think the two of us are going to change it. But we're certainly trying to change the conversation for everyone. So thank you for the feedback.
Well, at least overcoming the stigma for people that are dealing with mental health challenges, because in my working career, I've had in excess of 21 jobs. I stopped counting at 21 jobs. I've started 16 different companies. I currently manage an investment group. The effects that mental health challenges in my life, in some instances during my life, have been very devastating.
Well, thank you for your courage to share the story, and I hear you. And we're on a journey, and we're a part of that journey with you, so thank you.
Thank you.
Microphone number one.
Hi, my name is Tina Thorne, and I'm an employee as well as a shareholder. And I'd just like to say that I'm very proud of the fact that Bell's Let's Talk program isn't just a corporate, we have to support something, so pick something and let's do it. I was employed, I came to Bell in 2012, and shortly thereafter, my family experienced an extremely severe trauma, and I'm so grateful and proud to say that my colleagues and my executives were just so supportive in a time where I probably would have just left work. I was able to continue on with their support. So I'm really proud that you walk the walk as well as talk to the talk. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very kind of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. And number three, I think our last question.
Yes, Mr. Cope, I'm well pleased with what you and your executive have done with Bell Canada and all the work you've done. My beef is with your transfer agent, and I would strongly recommend that you switch away from CST, AST to some of the others. My January checks were 2.5 weeks late. I phoned up to find out what was going on, and I was given some wishy-washy excuse about the time of year. I wanted statements for the current drip plans that I've got at home for my adult children. They finally arrived a week ago. Now, the dividend checks for April showed up on the Friday, with the 15th being Sunday. I've taken money checks down to 1 Ontario Street, and I'm afraid the woman in that counter is anything but pleasant. The person that works the mailroom, Ivan, is far, far more customer-oriented. Now, I also have stuff with ComputerShare. And there's people behind the counter. They think you're important. They're willing to work. If they haven't got an answer, they go ahead and find it because they've got people out the back. AST, CST, no. Now, I'm also concerned, since the Americans have taken over CST, where is our data gone? Because it now goes to the States, and American companies turn around and obey American law, not Canadian or British or Australian. And I'll fully concede that ComputerShare head office is in Australia, but they have a system very similar to ours. There's not the worry there. But AST, I've had bad experience with them, with Bell, with Sun Life, and also Emera. And I'm debating whether to set up a drip plan with Emera because of the experiences I've had. If you could consider when your contract with them ends, maybe switching. That's all I've got to say. Well, Mr. Cope, you've done a fabulous job otherwise.
Thank you. And we are, you can rest assured, sir, people were writing down this madly, so we'll take your information away and make sure that what you're talking about isn't happening. So thank you. Thank you.
Microphone two.
Just like to comment on the corporate social responsibility that Bell has shown towards mental health. As a shareholder, and I think more importantly as a customer of Bell, I think that leadership from the board of directors and senior executive makes that happen. And I always felt that it is genuine, and it's one of those needs in this country. And it's great that we can see that corporate social responsibility coming from there. And I can't. Last time I came to a shareholders meeting, my customer service jokes were getting more laughs than the Leafs, but that doesn't work anymore. And you're absolutely right. I believe the customer service has improved, and we've seen an improvement on the ice as well. One question for you, though.
One question for you, okay?
Come from that Berg called Aurelia. We still don't have Fibe TV, all right? And I would really like to know when the heck it's going to arrive.
Thank you for your comment. I can't give you the specific answer on that, but there will be a plan in our roadmap to get fiber into that market. I don't know where it is top ahead, and that would bring those services there. I just don't know the top ahead, but thank you for the question.
Yes, Gary Norris again. On reflection, Mr. Cope, I wasn't entirely satisfied with your response to the question about the television debate. If I could quickly read three paragraphs from the Star. To their credit, the Liberals and New Democrats had previously agreed to invite the Greens into the studio. They also issued challenges to hold several televised debates among all the major leaders. But Ontario's television networks, it says here, are trapped in time, running their own shows without public accountability. This isn't the first time they have conspired, the Star's word, to exclude the Greens. When television networks take it upon themselves to cherry-pick which leaders can come on stage and which parties shall be arbitrarily excluded, they do a disservice to democracy and deprive voters of choice. So my question to you is, can I get a commitment that you will communicate with senior management at Bell Media to use Bell Media's influence in the broadcast consortium to allow the Greens to take part in the televised debates? Thank you.
Well, first of all, thank you again for the comment. I love your passion on the comment on the whole topic. I'm going to take what you have read out and talked about, and I will now get myself educated on the issue. Thank you for the feedback. I will not make a commitment either way, because at the very end of the day, that will sit with the news people in Canada. Management stays, as everyone in this room would know, stays independent of news decisions. But in my role as CEO, I will get myself educated. Thank you very much for the questions.
I appreciate that. I wouldn't want to make a motion from the floor, but just as a matter of interest, what is the sense of the House on whether all parties that receive public financing should be represented in the debates? Anybody want to raise their hands? So there's some sense of...
Thank you very much. I appreciate the questions. Thank you.
I think that is the last of the questions, and we appreciate everybody's contribution. Oh, we've got one more.
Dwelling on this. My name's Christopher McNeely. I'm a shareholder. I have a question about the dividend. So we've had pretty consistent dividend growth the last, trailing 5-10 years. You can pretty well be assured of 5%. In the literature, you indicate a target payout ratio of 65 to 75%.
Right.
Would you feel commenting on the dividend growth going forward? Given the consistency of 5% from year to year, I think it makes the month-to-month share price pretty irrelevant. And as a shareholder, I think if I can rely on that 5%, 5-point, whatever, I think I'd be pretty happy going forward.
Yeah, I would say this. I'll be careful because as a public company, but I would in our disclosures. But I would say, as Gord said, we have a policy of 65 to 75% of our earnings being returned to you as dividends or of our cash flow. Not earnings, of our cash flow. We know as management we have to grow that cash flow every year to maintain a 5% dividend growth. We've had 10 years for you as shareholders of a 5% dividend growth. I don't think this room would be happy if that were to decline. So we've got our marching orders, and we know what we're going to try to do for you going forward.
Thank you.
I might also point out that the 65 to 75% range is an important component of that, because you can increase your dividend by paying out more of your earnings. But, you know, that is one of the disciplined approaches that George and his management team have brought to this. And it's one of the ways that we judge management as well, their ability to grow that cash flow, increase the dividend, while paying out within that range. Because some organizations, as you know, if you wanted to pay out 95%, you could, if you didn't have the necessary cash flow, you could just increase your payout ratio. So it's a very disciplined approach. There is one more. Two more. Okay. Number one and then number two.
You've got one more word over there. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Matthew Morlock. I'm a shareholder. In 2011, my...
Hang on one sec. Number two. Number one is asking first.
Okay. In 2011, my father died of a brain tumor, his second brain tumor in the 21st century. He left me with the shares in Bell, which I'm glad to have now, particularly because I've been out of work since 2011. I've been volunteering in that time, and I was just wondering if there's any opportunity with a great company like Bell for someone like me.
Well, I would say thank you for the question. We hire about 6,000 people a year through natural retirement, and someone from our HR will be absolutely happy to talk to you after, sir. So thank you.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, number two, and then we'll go to number three.
As a shareholder, I would like to extend to all Bell Canada associates my sincere gratitude for their dedication and effort in overcoming the many challenges we have faced in the past year. This is a time of year to reflect on what we have accomplished, to share a special sense of pride in what we have built together at Bell, and remind ourselves of the many challenges that lie ahead. By all counts, 2017 has been a successful, dynamic, and prosperous year, not only for BCE Incorporated, but for all of us. It has been a year of fundamental change at a time, painful transition, but we have seen it through. None of this has been easy. All these initiatives have required hard work, long hours, and the utmost professionalism. But the people of Bell were equal to the task. On behalf of shareholders, I would like to thank Board of Directors, senior management, and all associates, each one of you, for your dedication, initiative, and tireless effort. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'd like to greet you, all of us, a happy 138 years anniversary.
You're right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I pray to God this, our company, will remain from generation to next generation. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Microphone three.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. My name is John Flanagan again. I am a shareholder. Two things that caught my attention was the 5% dividend growth, but also the company buying back shares that are up for sale, running an investment group. Those are two of the things that I look for in a company to personally increase the position of my investment group. So I appreciate that, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Okay, I think that is now the end of the question period. We thank you very much for your participation and your questions. And being no further questions, I will close the comment session. I would now bring the meeting to an end. Please leave your handsets, your headsets, on your seats prior to leaving the auditorium. And once again, on behalf of management and your board of directors, we thank you all for attending today's meeting, for your participation, and most importantly, your business and support of the organization. So thank you very much, and have a nice day.